Hey, this is Craig Ferentino of Craig James Financial. Get ready for another financial report right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Megan DiMuccio is a registered representative offering securities and advisory services through United Planners Financial Services. Craig James Financial Services and United Planners are not affiliated. Materials discussed is not to be construed as specific tax or legal advice and is not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities.
And the website, it is a great one. I've been telling you that, folks, every day pretty much. You got great events, webinars. You got to sign up at CraigJamesFinancial.com. Great information in there, especially what you need to know with this tax season looming large. Remember, May 17th, you got to get everything in, the extension. The aforementioned Megan Muccio, CPA, investment professional, certified financial fiduciary with Craig James Financial Services. She has been fantastic all week. Sitting in for the great Ferentino, Mr. Ferentino, a little R&R, well needed. And Megan's been with us, done a great job. I'll tell you, Megan, you've done wonderful stuff, lots of comments and everything else, great information. Great to have you here on this Friday.
Thank you so much. It's been a great week. I really love joining you.
It is fantastic. We're going to have to maybe find a way to kind of get Megan in once in a while with Craig Bennett. We'll see what we can do. You've been wonderful with the information and everything else, especially, you know, this time of the year and everything going on here. But, you know, lay out some of the numbers for us yesterday. I know the Dow got a little bit as far as positive, right, at the end of the day, a little bit above water there.
Yeah. So the Dow initially went lower when the jobless claims came in higher than expected, but it definitely rebounded during the year, rallied back, and ended at 33,460. And the S&P hit another all-time high yesterday, so that's what we've been talking about all week long. They closed the S&P futures right now are at 4,094. And NASDAQ futures ended a little bit down, 13,740, and the Russell 2000 are up at 22,48. So this week, we had a really good week. Next week, the quarter one earnings kick off. So we're definitely going to be looking at that next week. And I'm sure Craig will be talking with you about that more.
Now, you mentioned the jobless claims. I saw that come through. A little surprise. 744,000. I guess, you know, maybe, yeah, and this always happens, right? Because, you know, you get the number, a lot of people think it'll be lower. You know, a lot of people are seeing, hey, you know what, we're getting vaccinated and everything else. Businesses, you know, they have some money now. Well, you know what, not the case. Be careful, all right? Because we have the unemployment, you got the extra bump. People are still kind of sitting on the sidelines. In essence, you know, you're surprised, but yet you're not surprised, you know, when you kind of decipher it all, right? What was your reaction there?
Exactly. Yeah, I think still things are in recovery. You know, everything seems to be getting a little bit better, but there's still so many industries that don't know what to do yet or trying to figure out a new way to move forward. So I think there's going to be a little bit of fluctuation still, even as we go week after week. But it's always good to see a lower week here and there, and then I'm sure there'll be some higher weeks like we saw yesterday. So.
Yeah. Also, Fed Reserve. They signal they're going to hold off on tightening at the first signs of inflation during the rebound, which was, you know, obviously a benefit to the market. But we've seen Jerry Powell in action before. And listen, he's got a grasp, obviously, of what's going on within the country and everything else. So, you know, they're not going to go crazy. They're going to kind of hold the line a little bit here, right?
Yes, I think that they know what's going on. I mean, they've been pretty calm and pretty stable all along, saying that they're going to hold off on tightening anything at the first signs of inflation. They want the economy to do well. They don't want to quickly switch back into something drastic. So I think that's all a good sign for the market, and people seem to be reacting that same way.
All right. I mentioned May 17th. There's still some time as far as IRAs and everything else, right? I mean, May 17th, you still have time to get your house in order, so to speak, correct?
Yes, definitely. So with that May 17th, you know, you can still have time to get your taxes done, not file an extension just yet. I mentioned earlier this week, if you are someone who pays estimated payment, that first quarter estimated tax payment is still due on April 15th, so you have a little under a week to get that in. But otherwise, your full tax return with the IRS, and most states have followed suit, that's going to be due on May 17th, which is a Monday, as well as those IRA contributions. So we're in good shape there. You know, I really think IRA contributions are important. There's many people who get deductions for it on their tax return and so many people who won't. But either way, it's just so important to make that contribution if you have the money, if you have the capability of doing so, it puts money in a position where you don't get taxed on it anymore. So even if you have to pay the tax now or you've already paid the tax now, once you put it into that IRA account, you're not paying tax on it anymore. It's much different than putting that money into an investment account where every single year you get a tax statement with dividends, any sort of capital gains or losses. This is money that you don't see another tax statement for as long as that money is staying in the IRA. So definitely something important to consider.
Yeah, always a big IRA guy myself. It is easy. And listen, if you can put a few shekels away on a monthly basis, you know, you're doing yourself right down the road. There's no question about it. Now, Megan, of course, we have the luxury of getting her on this week. She is a CPA. She's right there. And a lot of people will always want to know this time of year, because we always talk about the ever-changing tax laws, Megan. You know, as far as deductions, job expenses, we hear a lot about educators, especially during the pandemic, nurses, job expenses, they count in the taxes as far as everything is concerned there. If you can kind of separate fact and fiction, a couple of key points regarding that.
Sure. So we hear a lot, like you said, about all different types of jobs, and people want to know, can they deduct their job expenses? About a few years ago now, when the new tax laws came into play, the federal government actually did away with allowing you to take job expenses on your tax return. But that doesn't mean that your state did away with it. So, for example, we're in New York State still allows you to claim your job expenses. So if you're a nurse and you had to buy your scrubs this year or new masks, or if you were buying even some additional PPE or cleaning supplies for yourself, you know, these are all important job expenses to talk to your CPA or talk to someone like myself about. If you're an educator, that's actually a very unique group of people who get to take a $250 job deduction on their federal return. That's the only class of employees, of workers, who get that federal credit, and they get to claim that right on the face of the federal tax return. If you're someone who might fall between the two categories, it's always important to figure out which one's going to work best for you. So, for example, I work with someone who is a nurse in a school. So you might fall on either side of the line there, but in this situation, you know, really being a nurse and claiming those expenses worked much better for this person than being an educator, and so we went that route. So definitely something to look into with your taxes.
Important stuff there. What about, you know, I always get this here at the station and whatnot. A lot of people want me to ask Craig and whatnot. I'll ask you. A lot of people working from home, obviously, have expenses. Maybe, you know, lighting, obviously, a contributor, you know, the power companies, the computer, the modems and everything else with a provider. I mean, are those deductible as far? I mean, is it, because I remember somebody told me, well, you can get a 1099. Now, I know things have changed. Maybe clear that up for us. But what about working at home as far as the usage and everything else? Is that a deduction as far as an expense?
Yes. So a 1099 and a W-2 employee are two different categories. If you work as a 1099 employee, that's typically considered an independent contractor, you can actually claim almost everything that relates to your job. It's almost like you're owning your own business. And if you're working from home this year, you really just want to be able to prove that you designated a certain area of your home to be your home office. That way you can say X percentage of my home was my office. That means that same percentage of my home I used the Wi-Fi in. I used my cell phone for that same percentage of the time. And you can actually get some of the, you know, without specifically calling out your, let's say, electricity costs, you can take a small percentage of your home for the office space. Now, if you're someone who has no specific office, you work in the living room one day, the kitchen one day, the playroom one day, that's going to be a little bit harder to prove to the IRS, but something to consider when filling out your taxes. Now, the same rules apply for a W-2 employee, but we're going to go back to those rules I talked about before, where it's really going to be an impact on your state versus just your overall federal and state return.
Information right there, folks. Megan Muccio with us, CPA. So I notice also there's always a lot of questions regarding your status, right? Filing, married couple, single, whatever, kids, household. There's always a lot of stuff. And I think it's important to really understand, and tell me if I'm wrong, but don't mess up your status when you're filing. I mean, that is a key, because that could really screw things up, return if you're entitled to one, right? Status, very key here.
Yes, absolutely. So there's really four key statuses. They have single filers, married filing jointly, married filing single, head of household. There's actually a fifth status if you unfortunately lost a loved one this year, which is called qualifying widower. And that's for someone who has a spouse passed away and is still supporting children. Big keys this year, if you're filing married, don't be afraid to ask the person preparing your taxes or talk to a CPA about if it makes sense to file separately versus filing jointly. There's these stimulus checks which are floating around, this unemployment income which could become tax-free, that if you filed separately as a married couple, you still check the married box, you just filed two separate returns. There's a lot of people who are saving money this year by doing it that way, and it's not something to be concerned about. It's not going to, you know, flag to people that you're not with your significant other. It's just you're going to save you money, so definitely important to look that way. And don't file single if you're supporting someone in your household. Talk about if head of household really could benefit you, because that's another way to get some additional money back on your taxes. So definitely a very important conversation to have, and talk to your person preparing your taxes, or like I said, CPA like myself, to get more information.
Important to make sure whoever files for you, and listen, we've had Megan on all week, and obviously she knows her stuff, and not that she's a walking advertisement, you know, although, you know, listen, you have questions, you need help, call it, you know, we'll give you contact information. But it's so important, right, for whoever does one's taxes to make sure that they understand all the laws and loopholes, if there are, or whatever, you know, it's very, and listen, we've all heard horror stories of situations where there have been audits, you don't want to get audited, and there have been issues as far as the preparer is concerned. You always have to remember to know your preparer, know the way they kind of go about their business, right?
Absolutely. I think it's so important that you understand what's happening on your tax return. You know, if you're going to someone who's just handing you a number and saying, pay this, get this refund, it's not really benefiting you in any way. I'm not saying you have to know the tax laws and understand them if you don't want to, but just knowing why you're getting a refund, why you're owing money, getting that education around your taxes can really help you confirm that the person you're working with is trustworthy, is doing the right thing. Even someone, you know, and I'm not saying everyone needs a CPA financial advisor combo, but someone who understands both sides of the spectrum. So you need a CPA who understands what you did in your financial life, and you need a financial advisor who understands what you did on your tax life, or how what they're doing is going to impact you, because these are two very, very important parts of your finances, your entire life, essentially.
Got some events coming up, boot camp on the 20th. You also have another great webinar, the 8 Essentials of Financial Planning. I believe the next one is the 28th, if I have that right, at 5 o'clock. So you got a couple of good ones. You can go on that website. And again, you check out all the events, CraigJamesFinancial.com, right? But those are two biggies coming up in April.
Yes, they are. We're focusing on retirement this month. So, you know, taxes are coming to an end. IRA contributions are due. Really just diving into what that could look like for you, how to prepare for retirement or how to be in retirement and use your money wisely.
Craig James' number, folks, 631-393-2888. You can certainly get a hold of Megan, and you can email her, Megan, that's with no H, M-E-G-A-N, at CraigJamesFinancial.com. Megan, you've been phenomenal all week.
Thank you.
We can't thank you enough, and hopefully we'll look for you down the road somewhere, huh? How's that?
Sounds great. I look forward to it. Thanks, Jay.